Good morning. Great to have you this morning. How exciting. Old friends have been visiting, met some folks who've been part of Open Arms, were part of Open Arms in our early days. They're visiting in the community. I've met some new friends, folks who are just starting to visit with us. We welcome you all. Glad to have you at Open Arms Church. Hopefully you were able to receive a program as you walked in this morning. You'll be able to follow along with the service this morning. We have a different style of teaching this morning, and that will engage you, I trust. There are also a number of announcements, things that are happening, have been happening, new things that are happening. Ladies, thank you for responding last week to the women's retreat call. There's one opening left, so seven of you responded last week. There's one more, so if you've been thinking about it, sign up today, and there's room for you. Guys, looks like we're filled. We had a certain amount that we were able to fill up those rooms, but if you're still interested, sign up anyway, and we'll see, because some guys, their schedules may have adjusted and changed. If you want to be a part of the Camp of the Woods, both ladies and men, in September, ladies mid-September, guys late September, the women's retreat and the men's retreat. You'll also notice, parents, if you're interested to know more about dedicating your child to the Lord, we'll take a look at that together from the scripture to see how we do that here at Open Arms. Just contact me, you can call me or email me, and we'll have a discussion about that. Lunch on the Lawn, our connection to our community. That's successful when you invite your friends, your neighbors, your family, your coworkers. We'll have food for them after the service. It'll be outside on the beautiful landscape lawn that our team takes care of. Those flowers looking great. What volunteers that we have who take care of the grounds here. Thank you for what you're doing. So August 13th, this coming Sunday, a week from today, we hope that we come and gather and enjoy that time. We have a baptism as well outdoors, but that will be a fun time. If you are a guest, it's your first time to Open Arms, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Do us a favor. Before you leave today, as you depart, go through the cafe. There is a welcome booth there, and there'll be some folks who will greet you and give you a gift bag, just saying thank you for being with us. If you have a question, they'll be glad to answer it. If you have a prayer request, they'll be glad to pray with you right then and there. There's also a connection card in the seat pocket to your right or to your left or in front of you. Fill that out. Let us know anything you're comfortable in letting us know about yourself, and then we'll follow up with you privately, personally, to answer that question and engage you in however you're comfortable with right now in this season. And you can bring that card to the welcome booth. There's a little box there. You can drop that in or give it to those folks back there, and someone will follow up with you. As we continue to gather and to worship, I want to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll sing to the Lord. Would you join me in your hearts? Father, we're glad to be yielded this morning. Every time we gather, we anticipate that you drawing us, you wanting to say something to us, your children, called by your name, called to be brothers and sisters, gathered into this family, the church, the ecclesia, called out ones, called to you, called to one another, to live on purpose, to make Jesus known together. So thank you, Lord, for being in our midst. Thank you, God, that you meet us where we're at right now. There's folks here who are wondering, what does it mean to truly be a follower of Jesus? Can I really know the one true God? Does he really know me? Oh, Lord, speak to their hearts this morning. Share your love for them, your truth, what your word says about how to know you through Christ. And Lord, we as a family, we gather this morning, and there's burdens, there's sorrows, there's celebrations and joys, and you're in the midst of all of that. May we listen well to each other, help each other, exhort one another, sharpen each other, God, as you've called us to be your children, living together with a purpose. Be in our midst this morning as we sing praise and as we open up your word. Christ, in your name we pray, amen.
Would you stand with us if you're able? We've come together today to worship Jesus, to make him great. We do that by spending time together, fellowship. We do that by opening his word, being taught by his word, and we do that by singing. So today we're going to sing some songs that you'll know and that we've sung before, and we have a song today that we haven't sung before. It's newer. So if you know it, sing it out and join us as we worship.
other up as the feet of Christ. We walk throughout the earth, bear his image, bring his message, be the church. See the kingdom coming to the saints now, yearning, be the sound of creation. Sing. Watch the darkness tremble as the church assembles to the call.
Yeah. stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Let's sing it out.
And on that day,
forever here. Lord, you've told us not to worry about tomorrow. You've told us not to be troubled about tomorrow, but to trust you with tomorrow. But you've also told us to look towards the tomorrow that's out in front, this hope that we have of one day being together, not just with those who are in this room, but Lord, those throughout generations who have worshiped you, who have trusted you, and that there will be no more tears, no more death. Lord, that you have told us to set our hope fully on that in the future. Lord, thank you that we can trust you with the future. Thank you that we can look to the hope and the promise of the future and know that we have a faithful God who always keeps his promises, and that we can depend on what you've said will happen. Lord, we thank you that we could be together this morning, that we could worship you, that we could look at your word. Lord, we need you. And so, Lord, help us this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? So hopefully this morning as you came in, you got a program. And if you have that program with you, if you look at it, on the right-hand side are several passages from the Bible that we're going to look at this morning. And at the top, you'll see a question. At the top of the right-hand side of your paper, you see a question: what's next? What's next? If you were with us a couple weeks ago, you heard that there are two men among us that are being recommended to the church to serve as pastors, to join our pastoral team that is now three, that those two men are being recommended to join the pastoral team and serve as pastors here at Open Arms. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk more about that, talk more about what's next in that process and what's next in the life of Open Arms. So it's going to be a little different this morning. I'm going to ask Pastor John and Pastor Josh to join me up here. They're going to share in just a moment as well. And as they come, I'd also like to ask Brian and Will to join me up front just for a moment. Brian Helf and Will Kent. Actually, Brian, raise your hand as you're walking up so they know the difference. It's Brian. Will Kent next to him. These two men, for the past 18 months, have been involved in what we call a pastoral candidacy process. And so they have been meeting with us in our pastor meetings. We've been walking together. They've gone through several steps and leading to this morning where we are bringing them, the pastors, the three of us pastors, are bringing a recommendation to you, the church body, along with our personnel team, four other members, leaders in our church that comprise that personnel team. Together, those two teams are bringing the recommendation for Brian and Will to serve as pastors here at Open Arms. So we wanted to give you another chance to kind of put a face to the name as we talk about this morning. Thanks, guys. As we talk about what's next, we want to start with the big picture. You'll see on your program, number one, it says that, the big picture. The big picture, why pastors? How does a church get pastors? So we're going to look at Ephesians 4. There's a scripture there under number one on your program. Ephesians 4. There's two verses I want to read. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. And he, the Lord, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. And that word shepherds means pastor. That's what pastor means, is shepherd. There's a lot of names for pastor. There's elder, there's overseer, shepherds, pastors. They're all talking about the same role. God has given shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So there's two big picture things we want to see here. Number one is that God gives all of these roles. Do you see that? I mean, there's the apostles, the prophets, but particularly this morning what we're talking about are shepherds and teachers, pastors, teachers, that it's God who gives those to the church. Pastors aren't made, you know, by us. They're not even found by us. They're recognized. Our goal is to recognize what God is doing on our midst. Is he giving, is he raising up men who have the character and the giftings of a pastor? The other big picture thing we want to see in this passage is the purpose of a pastor. Why are there pastors? Look at verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So God gives, it's God who gives pastors, who raises up pastors, to equip the church. See, pastors aren't, according to this verse, pastors don't do all the ministry. They do ministry, they serve, but their role is to equip the church body to do ministry, to serve each other, to serve others, to serve in our world. The pastors are given by God to the church to help shepherd and equip the church for ministry. So how at Open Arms, like what is the process for that? That's the big picture, what's the process? And you'll see that number two in your program. There's two dates there, but even before we talk about that, I want to rewind and kind of help you understand the process we've been through up to this point. I mentioned 18 months ago that Brian and Will started in this candidacy process. We, as pastors, a few years ago, started to at least once a year ask the question among ourselves, who might God be giving to the church as pastors? Who might God be raising up? We started to ask that question not as, okay, what needs to be done and who can we find to do it? That wasn't the question, but who is God raising up that has, again, the character and the giftings and the heart to serve as a pastor? That was where we started, and 18 months ago, Brian and Will's name came up in that conversation. So we approached them, asked them to consider and pray about entering this observation stage, this candidacy stage, and they agreed to enter that. So again, they've been meeting with us. We've been getting to know each other, talking through what that looks like to be a pastor. 2 months ago, each of these men, Brian and Will, met with what is called an ordination council. Now what that is we asked men who are pastors outside of Open Arms in like-minded churches that we know to come together as a council, and we were part of that as well, to examine these men, to examine their character, to examine their lifestyle, their heart, their giftings, to help us to know, to help us with any blind spots we may have, to say, guys, help us to see if these guys really, if God is really raising them up. And so there was two separate councils, one for Brian, one for Will, and both of those councils affirmed the recommendation to present Will and Brian to the church. Want to be clear, though, it's not the ordination council that chooses Brian Will as pastors. It's not even the pastors that make that decision. It's not the personnel team that makes that decision. We make the recommendation, but it's the church that ultimately calls their pastors. And so there's two more steps in that process that are next. What's next in that process? In 8 days, you'll see on your program, August 14th, there's gonna be a meeting here in the evening, 6:30. Everybody's welcome to come. And you'll have an opportunity to hear Brian and Will share their testimonies. They'll share their spiritual journey, and you'll have an opportunity to ask them questions. Part of that is, and part of the ordination council, was Brian and Will filled out, they answered over two dozen questions about their testimony, about their beliefs, and they shared that with the ordination council, and the council used that to start the conversation. But we also want to make that available to you today, so you can get to know them a little bit more from the answers they gave to those questions. And those are going to be available in the foyer as you leave. There'll be a table there. You could grab that packet, several pages, and if you read through that, you'll get to know them more and give you a head start to August 14th. But the other step in the process is a vote, that the members of Open Arms Church will be asked to vote to receive Brian and Will as pastors. And that'll be August 27th. But here's the question. The question is, well, how do I know how to vote? How do I know whether I should vote yes, that Will and Brian should be pastors here at Open Arms? What's the standard? What's the qualifications? Do I compare them to Pastor John and say, well, they're kind of like Pastor John, so I'll vote yes? Or do I compare him to Pastor Josh or myself? Or maybe you have a pastor that was really influential in your past, and you think, well, yeah, maybe I'll compare him to that person. Well, no, that's not the the standard of qualification is comparing them with other men, but the Bible gives us clear qualifications to look for, to say, those who serve as pastors, this is the character, and this is the gifts that they need to have. And so I want to take just a couple minutes to read through 1 Timothy 3. It's under number 3 in your program, the qualifications. 1 Timothy 3. I'm going to read through this and just want to explain a few words, a few phrases there that'll help us. 1 Timothy 3, I'm going to start with verse 7. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer, now it's another word for pastor there, another word for shepherd. An overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may be puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. So there's a lot there, and I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, it's pretty sobering to read that, to read these qualifications of a pastor. There's a few things I want to explain. There's, in verse 1, there's this word underlined, aspire. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, what that means is that they have a desire to do it, that they want to do it. That doesn't mean that everybody that wants to be a pastor is qualified to be a pastor, but it means that one who steps into the role, that role needs to have a desire to serve and a desire to serve as a pastor, that they're not being drug into it. You know, they're not being manipulated into it, but there's a desire there. There's another phrase in verse 2, above reproach. What does that mean? What does that mean to be above reproach, blameless? In many ways, the rest of these verses unpack that. Like, what does it mean specifically to be above reproach? Well, we read the rest of the passage. It means to be respectable, self-controlled, not a drunkard, not violent, not quarrelsome. That in those areas, there's integrity. It doesn't mean that, above reproach doesn't mean that a man has to be perfect, because then honestly, Open Arms wouldn't have any pastors, and other churches wouldn't have any pastors. But the idea here is there is that they're not open to the charge of moral corruption in these specific ways. In verse 2, later on, there's this phrase, able to teach. That they're able to teach. It's interesting because this is the only ability qualification. All the rest are character traits that honestly all of us should have. But this one, able to teach, is very specific. And what it means is it's not just standing up here in front of hundreds of people teaching the Bible, but that it's a man who, when you go to him with spiritual questions, he's able to open the Bible and help you understand what God says in his word about that. It doesn't mean he's going to know every answer off the top of his head, all right? But there's an ability to make clear and to help you understand what the Bible says, whether that's one-on-one or in a smaller group or in a big group. There's an ability to teach. In verse 4, there's the phrase that's underlined, must manage his own household well. There's a lot of real estate in these verses given to this. A lot of words given to this. And the reason is because, here's the truth, that how a man leads his home is an example of how he's going to lead in the church. And so that's an important picture. It doesn't mean that the man's family has to be perfect. Again, then there would be no pastors. But there's this idea that if there's children, it says his children must be submissive. If there's children still in his home, that are under his authority in the home, that those children are not known as being rebellious, that the man manages his household well. There's many other characteristics, and the reason I'm reading these, the reason we're reading these this morning is just to encourage you over the next couple of weeks, this is our grid for making a decision on August 27th. This is what God says a pastor, the character and the giftings and the heart that a pastor needs to have. So commend these to you as you consider, as a church family, as members of Open Arms, how to vote. Specifically, the recommendation of Will and Brian. Specifically, the recommendation is for Brian to serve part-time as a pastor here. Brian leads a logistics company. That's what he does for work, and he will continue to do that. But that we would call him to be part-time, that one at least one weekday a week, that he'd be able to step away from that and serve during the week in that pastoral role. The recommendation for Will is for Will to serve full-time as a pastor. Will is already serving part-time, has for a few years, as our youth director. So the recommendation is that he would be a pastor and that he would serve full-time, not part-time as he is now, that he would be able to continue ministry with the youth as well as some added responsibilities. So those are the details of the formal recommendation. So what's next? As we continue to talk about that, I want to turn it over to Pastor John as he shares.
The mission of the church. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, or in your program, you'll see that text listed there. From the very beginning, the church had one mission. The Apostle Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, being helped, led by the Spirit of God, gathered numerous Old Testament scriptures, and the church was launched. The church began. This text here in Acts 2 is a kind of a 360 coming around, coming home kind of text for me, because 30 years ago, this August, the first time I ever preached at Open Arms was this text, because the church was examining me. My wife and I had been members at Open Arms for 8 months as we moved up here to attend seminary, and the church had invited me into a process to be called as one of their pastors, and as Pastor Kevin just shared, one of the qualifiers is, can he teach? They heard me in Bible study, but now they wanted to see if I could teach and preach God's word. And so I taught this text. The title was The Power, the People, and the Purpose of the Church. I believe I preached for almost an hour that day. Helped grow a church of 26 to 12. Let's read the text, because this is just a short synopsis of what the purpose is. So those who received his word were baptized. Again, Peter had just preached the gospel of Jesus. And those who received Jesus, who trusted in him, were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. What an exciting first day of the church. Verse 42. Now, what did they do, those 3,000? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. So they came with intentionality whenever they gathered. And in the midst of that scriptures, it would tell us that they gathered regularly at Solomon's colonnade, at the temple, for preaching. One of the apostles would preach. But it said they also gathered in homes and talked more about the scripture and got to know each other and excited about, you responded to Jesus as the Messiah? You see, in the beginning, they were all Jews, and they cared about each other. They loved one another. They prayed for one another. They shared their needs with one another. And people said, hey, I've got an extra this, or I have an extra that. I have land. I'll sell it, and we'll take care of your needs. It was an exciting time. And then we notice a lot of part of verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. See, God does that when his word is opened up and it is shared without compromise, and those pastors, those teachers help people understand what God's word says. God does something in the midst of that. People see the true nature of God, his great love, his kindness, his mercy, his might, his sovereignty, and they see the true nature of themselves. Boy, I have this rebellion against God. I want it my own way. I want to be the king and commander, the queen of my own life. And then when they see that, and they hear the invitation that Jesus was a mediator, he died on a cross to pay the sin debt penalty, to bring those two together, God and the sinner, something happens. God adds to the church. Do we notice this? God added to the church those who were being saved. And what God did over 2,000 years ago, and what he started to do and continued to do over 30 years ago here at Open Arms, he continues to do. When we began this process, as Pastor Kevin said, many of you asked us, do we need 5 pastors? And our question was, or our response to you was like, we don't know. It doesn't make logical sense. But we didn't ask God that question. We asked God, who is it that you're building into, raising up in our midst to be pastors that we can invest in, walk alongside, and God, whatever you do with them, you will do with them. That was our question to God. And as Pastor Kevin said, rose up Brian and Will in our midst, and they were invited into that process. This past April and May, if you've been with Open Arms since that time, we all got pretty excited because we saw this worship center filling up. God was drawing people. People who had not had a personal relationship with Christ were responding to Christ. People in this community who were looking for a church that would teach the Bible began to fill this place. Over 75% of the seats here were being filled. Church gurus will tell you once you reach that 70% max of seats in a worship center, you'll stop growing. Others who have studied the Northeast says when you hit 65%, they'll stop growing. Because Northeasterners, folks who are being drawn by God, they want room. They don't want someone sitting on their right or to their left. Especially new to Christ. Once you get to know somebody you don't mind, you say, come sit next to me. But those whom God has joined, there is a, I want my privacy. We got that. And then the conversation began with us. God, what are you up to? What do we do? We're not certainly not going to shut the doors and say, no, you're not invited here. And so we began to pray, and we began to have conversations. Should we start a second service? Maybe on Sunday morning, maybe on Sunday night? And then the conversation turned, do we plant a new church? And the excitement in the room elevated. Could God be calling us to plant a new church from the existing church that we had? And that became the midst of our conversation over the last couple of months. And so out of that, there's a vision for us to plant a church. Out of Open Arms Church here right now, it will start as a second service on a Saturday night. I'm thinking the time is about 6 p.m. That will be the seed, the core of a church plant that will one day launch across the Mohawk River into the Glenville Burnt Hills area. It'll be an opportunity as we watch and see this fall, as folks come back from vacation, as they begin to gather here. When do we launch that second service that we see being envisioning a second church? We don't know. A date hasn't been determined yet, but my guess it will certainly be within 6 months. How you can help right now, if you're not a guest, if you're not just visiting, but you're a part of the Open Arms family, next week and the ensuing weeks and months, move up close and move in. There are tons of front row seats here. People have said it's like being closer to heaven when you sit up in these front rows. You test them. You come and see, okay? That's how you can help. Because you know this. A great majority of you didn't know Jesus when you started attending. And where did you sit? You sat in the back row and you sat by the end. Because you didn't know what was going to go on in this place. Because you had never been a part of a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church before. We get that. We understand that. So as Pastor Kevin had already said, as we have making this recommendation to you, how we see Will fitting in full-time, he and Victoria have made a commitment that they're going to continue to serve in our youth ministry. It's a growing, exciting ministry. They see it, they love it, and they're going to be a part of it for the foreseeable future. But the recommendation also as part of that full-time ministry is Will be one of the pastors that will go and be a part of that church plant across the river. And we see Pastor Josh being one of the pastors who will go with that church plant across the river. They will be the beginning of the plurality of pastors, just like now we have a plurality of pastors here, the three of us. Those two will be the plurality of that church plant. And Brian, again, this is if the church affirms for Will and for Brian, he will become part of the plurality of the church right here in Rotterdam. So as I share that with you, there's thoughts. For some of us, it's how exciting, how thrilling that we're a missional church. This will be the 10th church plant that we've been involved in since our beginning. But the most involved, the most sacrificial, because we believe that God will call some of you, if not many of you, to be part of the core, the seed of that church. And when we think about it that way, there's like, ooh, this is my family. These are the folks that I look forward to seeing and part of a Bible study, and yet some of them may go across, or I may see. It's an opportunity for all of us. There'll be a sorrow. There'll be a grieving time for a period, but we still live in the capital region. We can still connect. We can still share. The church will be doing things together, but that's where we need to trust the Lord. Whose idea is it to plant churches? Well, guess what? Those who were being saved did not stay in Jerusalem. There isn't one church in Jerusalem. There's tens of thousands upon tens of thousands. Why? Because they grew and they needed to go to the next town and the next town and the next town. And we see that in the book of Acts. And so we're seeing here God continues to do his work as he draws people, as he saves people. He says to the church, it's your responsibility. It's not a denomination's responsibility. It's not one person's responsibility. The church, you launch other churches and send to those churches qualified men whom you know, whom you have examined. And one of the great blessings for this opportunity, because we've never done it this way before, we have sent smaller bands of folks to plant some churches, one in Gilderland, one in East Greenbush, one in Clifton Park many years ago, but this could be larger. And so as we pray, as we think, whatever God calls to do, he says, I call you to follow me by faith, not by sight. And as our hearts, as our minds, as our emotions may be challenged with some of these things, guess who will help us? Who will bring comfort, strength, grace? It'll be the same God who's calling us to this. But then we'll have each other over these weeks, over these months to lean on, to pray with, and to be able to release and say, go do what God's called us to do and what he's always been doing. Grateful that who God called us to be so many years ago, he's continuing to call us to be. And so as you're in prayer, as you're wondering what some of that may look like, Pastor Josh is going to introduce a little bit more of that.
It's been neat just to sit up here with my brothers this morning and to hear the theme. I trust that you've heard it as well, that God is the one at work, that we read in Ephesians 4 that God gives, read in Acts 2 that God added. And I want us to look at a third passage. It's there in your program, 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to see that God also empowers. God designs, God arranges. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, part of a great passage talking about how God arranges all the parts of the body together. 1 Corinthians 12, 4, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each believer is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Those last three words, the common good, is for me, I think for us as a team, that has been what has been so exciting about this process, is that the Lord gives, the Lord adds, the Lord empowers. Why? Why does he assemble us together as a church? Why does he give people different gifts, different abilities, different interests, different skills, different experiences for the common good? For whose common good? For my good. For your good. For the good of the Rotterdam community. For the good of the community that's across the Mohawk, for Glenville, for Burn Hills, for that area where we also sense an opportunity to share more about this incredible truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A gospel that the world desperately needs to hear. And a gospel that we've had the privilege of sharing here for decades through other church plants over decades as well, helping them to get started. And here we sense that God has arranged, God has appointed, God has empowered us to be able to do this in a slightly different community. Because ultimately, God is about reaching people. And no matter when that first church, no matter where that church across the river might start, God is about reaching people now. And we're excited for the opportunity to, for a while, meet on Saturday nights here now and to reach out to our friends and our family now who don't know the Lord yet. We live in a culture where we're in a generation where there's this overwhelming prevalence of just apathy, of indifference when it comes to things of the Lord. Sometimes it's a refusal to believe. Sometimes it's an atheism. It's a denial that God exists. But oftentimes, as I think about my neighbors, as you might think about people that you live near or work with, there's just a disinterest, not really understanding the depth of the gospel and how it changes every part of life. That's part of Will's background, part of what excites him. That's part of my own story. I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up going to church. But there was certainly a season in my life where God was a compartment in my life. And I had my God compartment. I had my belief in God over here. But then I also had all these other compartments. I had my friends compartment and my social life compartment, all these other compartments. And Jesus wasn't Lord over all. And when I finally came to realize that, when by God's grace and his patience with me, I finally came to realize that God deserved not just a part of my life, a component of my life, but that he deserved all of my life, that's when things came alive. And we have a passion to share that news with our community. If you have friends who might describe themselves that way, if your friends are those who might say, yeah, I believe that God exists, but I don't really understand, or I'm just kind of indifferent. I'm not really interested in talking about spiritual things. Let's talk, because we want to build a community around doing that, around encouraging each other to see through things like authenticity, through priorities such as doing life together throughout the week, that ultimately the church and being brought together by the Heavenly Father is not just about a worship service, but it's about life throughout the week. And finding ways to impact the communities where we live and where we work, where we have our families, our friendships. And those are the things that we want to stress and prioritize as we seek to reach more and more people here in the capital region that don't know Jesus yet. That's the driving force, because that is God's mission, to make himself known, to make the goodness of his gospel known, and we simply get to show up and partner with him in that. As Pastor John said earlier, I want to reinforce that just as Will and Victoria will continue to lead our youth group, so youth that are here in the room, you don't need to freak out. They're not leaving. They'll be here tonight. They'll be here for Summer Splash. Similarly, I anticipate personally continuing to be involved in both churches for as long as the Lord wills. So for better or for worse, I'm sorry if some of you are disappointed by hearing that, but you're not getting rid of me yet. I'm not going anywhere yet. But just overall, it's been a remarkable month now of just watching the Lord at work, watching him arrange these things, and we're excited to see where he leads. If you, this morning, as you're hearing this, you might be having several different responses, and some of you, maybe your first thought is, this sounds great. I can hear the evidence of the Lord at work. I just don't see myself being a part of that. I live here in Rotterdam. I don't see being a part of this thing that will be across the river one day, but I'm willing to support in prayer. Thank you. Please do that. There are so many details that need to get figured out. There are so many things that we're excited about figuring out together, but to be in prayerful support about that, because we have a common enemy who would love to see this not go well. He doesn't want others to hear about the good news of the gospel. And so if nothing else, if you would just commit to be in prayerful support for us as a church, for us as pastors over these months to come, thank you for that. Others of you that are hearing that are curious. You might be interested either maybe in serving short term, or maybe you're even thinking that this could be a long-term thing for you. If so, Will and I would love to sit with you. If you're curious, if you're interested, we'd love to just sit, talk more with you, share more about what we see the Lord doing, how we anticipate being able to reach this community more and more with the gospel as is currently happening here. So please reach out to us. Set up a time to meet. We'd love to get together, share with you, hear more about what the Lord has been doing in your own life, and hear the gifts, the abilities, the interests, the experiences he's given to you, trusting that the Lord has already been at work behind the scenes, arranging that to accomplish his purposes. So if you're interested in that, reach out to us. And as Pastor Kevin already mentioned, I'm going to turn it back over to him now. You'll also have other opportunities to come on the 14th and have more Q&A and other opportunities just to reach out to any one of us to process and talk about what the Lord is doing.
On August 14th, part of that time, that meeting together, will not, in addition to hearing Brian Will's testimony, in addition to, Jeff, could you turn off that TV in the cafe? I think we're getting a lot of echo back from that. In addition to being able to ask them questions, we also are going to open it up to questions about the Saturday night service and envisioning planting a church. So we encourage you to come to that. But, don't wait until August 14th. If you have questions, if you want to process more what this looks like before then, we want to be available to you to be able to answer as many questions as we can. We don't know completely all that it's going to look like. The Lord does. But we want to walk with you in that as much as we can. Let's go to the Lord. And let's pray. Let's commit this to him and ask him to help us. Lord, there's probably one of the most well-known passages in the Bible that starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And Lord, we can extend that to our church body as a whole. Lord, you are our shepherd. And Lord, you lead us. That's what shepherds do. You're the chief shepherd, and you lead us. And you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of other people tasting and seeing that you are good. Lord, you are so good. And you, Lord, you are always with us. For those who trust in you, for those who have surrendered to you, Lord, you are always with us. You, the Bible says you literally hold our hand as we walk through life. You guide us with your counsel. You are our portion. Lord, you're better than a good meal. You satisfy us as with fat and rich food. Lord, you are so good. And Lord, we We pray that that would be known by more and more people, that your goodness would not just be known but tasted, and that Jesus would be the all-consuming love of more and more people, that you would maintain that and grow that in our hearts, and that that would radiate out throughout this community and this area and the world, that you would use us to do that. But Lord, we lean on you. You are our shepherd. You lead us, God. You lead us. We've read that you give and that you give pastors. You add to us those who believe in you. Lord, it's what you do. We have no strength and no power and no good ideas on our own. We need you. So lead us, Lord, as a church family. We love you. We thank you that you love us more than we love you, and that you loved us while we were still sinners. And you loved us by going to the cross. Lord, may we never get used to that truth. May we never grow comfortable or just too familiar with that. But that it would excite our hearts continually and then flow out of our hearts to others. Lord, that you would use us. We commit this to you, Lord. Lead us forward, our good shepherd. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Would you stand with us if you're able as we worship?